Good afternoon, folks, and welcome. It's time to break free. I will be your host for the hour, David Matthew Rock, coming to you live from the constitutional carry state of Arizona via the Patriot broadcast from the trenches, 89.5 FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, Hal Apino's channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and many more micro-broadcasts and webcasts from around the world. Take the time to check out the number one source for Patriot news on the web at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. If you'd like to contact me via email, I can be reached at DavidMatthewRock@gmail.com. This is a live call-in program. Come on up and share your thoughts and experiences. Unlike the mainstream media, listener participation is appreciated. The call-in number is 641-715-3610. Once connected, you'll be asked for the conference room number, which is 220029, the pound sign. Hit star 6 to unmute. All right, it is currently 1:02 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time. It is 95 degrees in Casa Grande, Arizona, sunny with 14% humidity. I'm going to start by reading a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson, an American essayist and poet. "To laugh often and much, to win the respect of intelligent people and the affection of children, to earn the appreciation of honest critics and endure the betrayal of false friends, to appreciate beauty, to find the best in others, to leave the world a bit better, whether by a healthy child, a garden patch, or a redeemed social condition, to know even one life has breathed easier because you have lived, this is to have succeeded." So that quote touched me. I actually first heard it from Activist News. He put it in one of his videos, so I went and seeked it out for you guys. Okay, so we're going to start today's broadcast with an update on the smuggling operation of nearly 40 illegals, which were found in a trailer parked at a San Antonio Walmart last month. We will get into it as soon as we return from these messages from our sponsors. You take a mortal man and put him in control. Watch him become a god. Watch people's heads roll.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crème Brûlée Umptious, Divergent Flavor Labs, handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
It's time to break free, live on PBFTT, August 17th, 2017. I'm your host, David Matthew Rock. Thank you for joining me this afternoon. Okay, so we are going to start today off with an update about the smuggling operation that happened in San Antonio, where the trucker had 40 illegals in the back of the truck and 10 of them died. So we're going to start out with a quick clip from NPR. The associated article is on From the Trenches WorldReport.com, posted for discussion, and it's titled, "He Crossed the Border in a Packed, Unventilated Trailer and Survived." So this is posted today, August 17th, and it was written by John Burnett. So again, this is coming from NPR.
An update now. Last month, an unventilated tractor trailer smuggling migrants across the border in San Antonio became a death trap. 10 people died from the heat. Late yesterday, a federal grand jury indicted the driver, James Bradley Jr., indicted him on 5 counts, including transportation of undocumented aliens for financial gain resulting in death. 2 of the migrants remain hospitalized. NPR's John Burnett has the story of one young man who barely survived.
Here's the hospital scene. 16-year-old Brandon Martinez is lying comatose in the ICU. Wet washcloths cover his bare skin in an attempt to cool off his body that almost cooked to death. The immigrants were trying to breathe in the unventilated trailer on a blistering summer day. His father, Jose de Jesus Martinez, a Colorado landscaper who's in the country illegally, is at his bedside, weeping and stroking his son.
I have a solution. Stay the fuck home, and then you won't die in the back of a truck.
What happens next illustrates the fraught atmosphere between undocumented immigrants and federal immigration agents these days.
Estaba yo con mi hijo y en ese momento lo estaban cambiando de cuarto.
The father says Brandon was being moved to another hospital room when several agents from Immigration and Customs Enforcement walked in. They asked me in an aggressive manner, who was I and what was I doing there?
Y las enfermeras del hospital así como formando una barrera.
Martinez says several nurses formed a human wall between him and the officers. Martinez's lawyer was there, too. He had feared this exact scenario, that the hospital would be crawling with immigration agents. Martinez was terrified. In the current climate, unauthorized immigrants expect ICE to use any pretext to arrest and deport them. Attorney Alex Galvez says he stood with the nurses who confronted the agents.
Is this an attorney working for the Southern Poverty Law Center pro bono?
The nurses started raising their voices, saying, look, this is not the right place where this should be happening. Go outside, take it outside. We got sick kids inside.
North Central Baptist Hospital declined to confirm or deny what happened, citing patient confidentiality. ICE gives a different account of what happened in the pediatric ICU.
Even though it was a hectic situation, the agents certainly remained calm at all times, and there's certainly no yelling.
Shane Folden is special agent in charge of Homeland Security Investigations in San Antonio, which is leading the probe into what's being called El Camión de la Muerte, the truck of death. He says his agents were there to protect witnesses, and they had no idea Martinez was the father.
Agents don't know who those individuals were. They could have been members of the smuggling network trying to abscond with cell phones or other evidence.
The father and the lawyer say the agents eventually calmed down. In fact, they say ICE officers apologized to Martinez and said they were praying for Brandon's recovery. ICE's Shane Folden allows,
they certainly may have apologized.
Brandon Martinez has, by all accounts, made a remarkable recovery. He's been discharged from the hospital and is now living at a federal shelter with 3 other juveniles who survived the smuggling ordeal. In all, the government is holding 22 of the smuggling victims as material witnesses against the driver. Later on, they could be deported or qualify for special visas for victims of crime. In recent weeks, ICE has started to aggressively arrest parents and relatives who paid smugglers to bring their kids here. They cite the San Antonio case as an example of how ruthless these smuggling networks are. Jose de Jesus Martinez insists he did not pay his son's $7,000 smuggling fee. He claims he didn't even know Brandon was traveling up from Aguascalientes, Mexico, to Denver, where the dad lives. He knew how I suffered when I came up, the father says. He went on to describe his own smuggling nightmare, how the coyote who was paid to take him and other migrants across the border held them in a hotel and extorted them for more money.
Stay the fuck home.
Martinez says the coyote left them in the Rio Grande Valley, where they walked for 3 days and three nights and ran out of water. He says he injured his feet so badly that it took him a month to recover. The father concludes, "My son knew how much I suffered, but he didn't want to listen." John Burnett, NPR News.
Okay, so that was the Bleeding Rectum, NPR News. And we're going to go to an article of theirs on the same topic. This one is at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com, posted for discussion by me today, August 17th. This one is titled, "Driver Faces Five Charges and Potential Death Penalty Over Immigrants' Deaths." Death penalty. So, I mean, the parents that leave their children in the car by mistake, we can start giving them the death penalty? I mean, it's kind of a comparable situation now, isn't it? Okay, so yeah, coming out of NPR. A federal grand jury has indicted James Matthew Bradley Jr., on five counts related to discovery of dozens of immigrants who were crammed into a semi-trailer in a Walmart parking lot during hot weather in San Antonio last month. 10 immigrants died. Bradley is charged with crimes ranging from conspiracy to transport and harbor undocumented aliens for financial gain resulting in death to possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. If convicted, the charges could result in life imprisonment or death. I thought that was kind of odd, a death penalty. I mean, did he intentionally kill these people? If not, then why would you give him a death penalty? It seems a little extreme to me. Bradley, age 60, was found in the cab of the truck with a .38 caliber pistol. In the trailer behind him, some of the 39 people who were still there told agents that many more people, at least 70, and perhaps up to 180 or more, had been in the trailer when they were smuggled over the border. From San Antonio, Joey Palacios of Texas Republic Radio reports, of the 10 people who died, 7 are from Mexico, another is from Guatemala, one was a juvenile. What is that? Where is he from? What does that have to do with anything? And the last of the deceased has not been identified. 22 of the survivors are being held by federal authorities as potential witnesses in Bradley's case. 4 surviving juveniles are in care of the Office of Refugee Resettlement. Bradley is in custody and awaiting trial. A date has not been set. Law enforcement agents say that Bradley told them he knew the truck's trailer refrigeration system didn't work and that 4 vent holes were probably clogged. He also did not call 911. Bradley recounted how he had stopped in a Walmart parking lot to use the bathroom when he heard people banging on the trailer doors. When he opened them, a rush of people came out. Immigrants who were in the trailer told investigators that it had at least one hole that provided fresh air, and that after people began to collapse, they took turns breathing from it. So anyway, that's the article coming from NPR. It's posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion, and that seems a little extreme to me, death penalty, doesn't it? Any of the callers want to come up and tell me what they think, please feel free. Now, this isn't happening in the United States, but this is kind of on the same topic. This was posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com by me for discussion today, August 17th, and it's titled, "Spain Rescues Nearly 600 People at Sea as Migration Patterns Change." So we might not read this whole article, but let's at least get into it, see what it's about. Spanish authorities say they've rescued 593 migrants at sea in just one day. The Spanish Maritime Safety and Rescue Agency, also called Salvamento Marítimo, said it recovered the people on 15 boats Wednesday in the Strait of Gibraltar and the Alboran Sea, the western part of the Mediterranean Sea. Among the migrants were 39 minors, according to Spain's state-owned public broadcast. Well, who gives a shit whether they're minors or not? What difference does that make? You're not pulling at my heartstrings. As of last week, the United Nations International Organization for Migration says, do we really need this UN? You know, if there's something that should be knocked down, if there's something that should be absolutely destroyed, it should be the UN. Okay, that's probably the first place that we need to destroy. Probably more of a powerful symbol than destroying the guidestones would ever be. That UN needs to be shut down. They need to be taken off the continental United States, removed. Okay, so the piece of shit, United Nations International Organization for Migration, says 8,385 migrants have arrived in Spain by sea so far this year, and 121 people have died along the Western Mediterranean route. Stay the fuck home. Simple solution. Fix your own country. Take your own economy back. Start producing your own stuff. Start growing your own food. And maybe we can trade and travel and have a good time instead of fighting with each other. All right. That's up from 2,476 arrivals in the first half of 2016. Yeah, that's considerably up. Let's see. 8,385, 2,000. We'll just round it up. Okay, so 8,500, 2,500. So that's more than three times, an increase by more than threefold in one fiscal year. And that's only half the year, people. That's not the total number for the year. And that's coming from the United Nations, so who knows? Migration by sea to all of Europe, however, declined greatly from 2016, mainly due to a drop in the number of arrivals to Greece. The IOM says the vast majority, 83% of migrants entering Europe by sea this year landed in Italy. Yeah, Italy's been a big jump-off point. This is something I talked about on one of my previous shows. A friend of mine is an Italian-American national. She was born in Italy and moved over here to play tennis when she was like 17. But yeah, she was telling me about the Africans coming to Italy back in 2013 before I ever really saw it in the mainstream news. So this has been going on for a while. And one of my previous shows, we discussed the Jewish involvement, the fact that there's a lot of Jewish organizations that are aiding and assisting these illegals in their travels. Yet, at the same time, Israel won't take a single one of them, not even from their bordering nation, Syria. But I guess when you're occupying the Golan Heights, that's not surprising. Anyway, but Spain could soon overtake Greece in having the second highest number of migrants arriving in the country by sea after Italy. You got to ask yourself, why is this happening? You got to ask yourself, why are the European governments letting this happen? Why is the American government letting this happen? It's policy, okay? This isn't happening by mistake. This isn't something that can't be stopped. This is policy. Anyway. Given the crackdown of migration from Libya, it seems natural that many would forsake the dangerous desert crossing to Libya and choose to cross from Morocco. Yeah, that's if there's a boat waiting for you, right? IOM spokesman Joel Millman told the Financial Times. More than 12,000 migrants have come to Greece by sea in 2017. Sharply down from the more than 161,000 at the same point last year. Now, obviously, we got to trust these people's numbers. We got to trust NPR's numbers and these numbers coming from the UN and so on, if you're to believe that 161,000 people actually came into Greece. But that's a huge number. That's an invasion. That isn't just a migration. That's an invasion. Africa's a big continent. Why would you leave there unless we're talking socioeconomic issues? And if those are the types of issues you're having there, then you're just going to bring your problems to the European nation that you're moving to. If you can't get together with the people in your own country and you can't start discussing the problem and you can't start implementing solutions, then what the fuck do you have to offer to any of these nations that you're migrating to? I beg to say that there's probably nothing. There's nothing that you're offering. You're just another useless eater. Anyway, at its narrowest point, the Strait of Gibraltar separates Spain and Morocco by about 8 miles. Many migrants choose to attempt the crossing on cheap child-sized paddle boats without motors that allow them to bypass people smuggling networks and their fees, the BBC reports. So they may mention this later on in the article, I'm not sure, but what happens when they go out on these little dinghies, when they go out on these makeshift rafts, the Italian Coast Guard, whatever it's called, snatches them right up, picks them right up, and rescues them. So that's why they're doing that. But in addition to that, there's also large-scale vessels that are working with these non-governmental organizations, NGOs. And if they started confiscating those boats or destroying those boats, I think you would see this start to stop. Anyway, let's see here. Migrants in Morocco also attempt to enter Spain by land at Setua. Oh, okay. Well, you know what? We don't need to get into too many more details here. That's just about the end of the article. They're claiming that more than 2,400 migrants died in the Mediterranean each year in the last 4 years. So yeah, well, you don't want to die, don't go swimming. Don't go out into the Mediterranean on a makeshift boat, a little dinghy. Okay, so I heard this, I had to make a trip to the store, and I always listen to NPR radio because they are appealing to the doctors and lawyers and academic types. And they're very difficult to listen to. They piss me off, and they talk in these little weak, faggoty-ass voices. But I swear their propaganda is less veiled. So when I hop in the car, I tend to either bounce back and forth between some sort of News Corp, Fox Radio, right-wing, AM dial kind of shit, like whoever carries Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity. I tend to switch between that, which is meant for the blue-collar people, and then NPR, which is meant for the highbrow, freaking nose-turned-up communist, freaking whatever you want to call them. Anyway, so yeah, I overheard this on NPR, and I'm glad I did because it's an important article to bring forth today. Everybody's favorite politician, Pelosi and Booker, push for removal of Capitol's Confederate statues. This was posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion by yours truly today, August 17th, 2017, and it is coming from Politico. Let's see who wrote it here. Elena Shore. The nationwide debate over the removal of monuments to the Confederacy is coming to the U.S. Capitol. While President Donald Trump on Thursday urged the preservation of our beautiful statues and monuments honoring Confederates, Senator Cory Booker, Democrat, New Jersey, oh, I'm sure he's a piece of shit, plans to craft legislation that would remove the Capitol's statute's lionizing support of the slave-holding era. And House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, Democrat from California, called for their elimination. I'm really curious what percentage of the American population were slave owners. Seriously. Okay. Pelosi on Thursday urged Speaker Paul Ryan, Republican, Wisconsin, and other Republicans to join her in supporting removal of the Confederate figures from the Capitol, lending new momentum to Booker's effort. Only a few Democrats had previously called for the statute's removal after white supremacists staged a violent rally in Charlottesville over the city's likeness of Robert E. Lee. Okay. The Confederate statues in the halls of Congress have always been reprehensible, Pelosi said in a statement. Pelosi, you're reprehensible. We need to sign the bill before we read it so we can avoid the controversy. Yeah, okay. Reprehensible. If Republicans are serious about rejecting white supremacy, I call upon Speaker Ryan to join Democrats to remove the Confederate statues from the Capitol immediately. Now, me personally, I don't want to, let's see, what was the term she used? Reject a white supremacist. A white supremacist has the freedom to speak, has the freedom to organize, has the same freedoms as anybody else. So I don't side with them. I don't favor with them. I ain't going to join them. I ain't going to fight with them, but I would support their freedom of speech. Anyway, I call upon Speaker Ryan to join Democrats to remove the Confederate statues from the Capitol immediately. Congressman GOP leaders had previously stated that decisions on replacing Capitol statues should rest with the individual states. And Ryan's office affirmed that stance earlier this week, Politico reported. A Ryan spokesman did not immediately return a request for comment on Pelosi's entreaty. To push to remove the Capitol's Confederate iconography promises to reopen an emotional debate that presents pitfalls for both parties. Yeah, you could say that, pitfalls. Well, good. I hope you do fall down a big hole and break your neck and die. I sure as shit ain't going to rescue. In the wake of the Charlottesville rally, which left one woman dead, allegedly, I'll add, and more than a dozen injured, Governor Terry McAuliffe, Democrat, Virginia, and Ralph Northam, the Democratic nominee in November's election to replace him, have come out in favor of replacing the state's Confederate monuments. With what? Stalin? Mao? Okay. The issue is more complicated. Ooh, there's that word that NPR likes to use so much. It's complicated. The issue is more complicated for members of Congress, however, thanks to long-standing guidelines that empower state legislators to select the statues in the Capitol that honor prominent citizens for their states. Even so, Congress could eliminate all Confederate statues via legislation, and Booker said Wednesday night that he would propose that move. This is just one step, Booker tweeted. We have much work to do. Well, fuck you. I hope you try it. Try it. The more you piss people off, the better. The harder they push, the better. I've been saying that for a long time. Expect it. The more these gun laws they pass, the better. And when they start going to confiscate our weapons, that's when the shit's really going to go down. That's the line in the sand. That's the one they don't dare cross. They might pick off a person here and there, but they don't ever make a big push on that. Okay, there is no room for celebrating the violent bigotry. Fuck that quote. There are 10 statues in the Capitol National Statuary Hall collection honoring individuals who served in the Confederate Army or government. Others depict supporters of slavery or the Confederacy, such as former Secretary of State and Senator John C. Calhoun and Uriah Milton Rose of Arkansas. Leaders of the Congressional Progressive Caucus are also backing the removal of the Capitol Confederate statues. A spokeswoman for the Congressional Black Caucus said Tuesday, the group is not presently proposing any legislation solution because GOP leaders back leaving the decisions to individual states. Okay, we got to take our bottom of the hour break, folks. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. Stay tuned.
I'm taking the fight as a lie.
Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disaster situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin,
the state of Jefferson.
It's Time to Break Free is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, David Matthew Rock. It is 1:39 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time, and that was Nine Inch Nails with Head Like a Hole coming out of the break. I don't know, it felt like a fitting song for today. Might have turned off some of our older listeners, but it is what it is. Tell you what, I haven't heard a ding on the call-in line yet, so I'm not sure if that's working. So if anybody wants to call in, let me know it's working. Throw in their 2 cents, feel free. So, you know what, I don't even feel like reading the rest of this stupid article. As far as I'm concerned, all these politicians are just the walking dead. With all the treason and all the bullshit that they're pulling, they're dead men. Anyway, I made a series of notes, and I'm just going to go through them real quick. I had some interesting thoughts earlier. I've just been writing them all down. Hey, I heard a ding. Can you hear me? Can I hear you? Henry mentioned he was a drummer, played in a band. I played drums too, Henry. Okay, so I've said this before. I'm not the only one who said this, but I'll bring it up again because it's important. What better tool do we have to unite under other than the Bill of Rights? Name one. If there is one, name it. As far as the American population goes, name it. I can't think of one. Now, me personally, and I'll say this again, you know, it's just my views, I have an anarchist leaning. And what that simply means is no rulers. And my personal take on that is no matter who you put in charge or what kind of governmental institution you create, it's only a matter of time before it gets corrupted and it goes bad. And all government is, at its core, is a monopoly on violence and theft. Do I think anarchy can work? I don't know. I've never seen it before. Do I think it's a good idea? I really don't know. But what I do know is whatever government gets created in the future, I'm not going to trust it. But how do we come together? Okay? Now, me as somebody who does not believe in government, I'm willing to unite with others who do because I know that I won't have any success by myself. Okay? So I'm willing to unite with people who believe in the Bill of Rights because, you know what, there's a lot of good things said in that Bill of Rights. And I'm of the opinion the belief in the Bill of Rights is the only thing that's keeping us free. The Bill of Rights was just something that people expressed their thoughts and feelings about freedom on paper, but what's the point I'm trying to make here? There's a greater point, all right? We need as many people in this fight as possible. We cannot be divided by religion, color, sex, creed. None of that matters. You know, it's your...
David.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just going to let you know you have six callers on the line, and it is working. And I thought it was Flea's turn to unmute and tell you this, but I got it covered.
Oh, okay. Excellent. I appreciate that, Henry.
All right.
So, yeah, I'm just still working the bugs out a little bit. So, yeah, we need as many people in this fight as possible. We can't be divided. I really don't give a shit what color you are. It's what's in your heart and what's in your mind, and it's how bold you're willing to be. That's what matters to me. Okay, I'll mention this again as well, but if you want to see a recent example of the divide and conquer scenario that we're seeing accelerated in the United States, take a look at the Ukrainian Revolution that started in 2014. There's an event called Maidan. So go seek that out if you need a little understanding of where this can go. This is an excellent recent example, more so because it is quite literally the Nazis and the communists fighting each other. So yeah, Ukrainian Revolution started in 2014 with an event called Maidan. Seek it out if you're not aware about it already. So yeah, I agree with something Spike was saying earlier. He was saying something is going to happen. And then Henry saying, I've never seen them push so hard. To me, this feels like the final push. You know, there might be some sort of big false flag, 9/11 terrorist style event coming, but this is the final political push. It feels like to me. And this statement is way older than me, but it's something we should embrace because it's the truth. Things need to get worse before they get better. Okay. So expect to see more chaos, but Don't let it break your spirit. Expect it. Don't let it break your spirit. Okay? We are the largest militia in known human history. The American people are the largest militia force in known human history. Keep that in mind, people, and remind others of that fact daily if need be. Let them know. You don't need to be afraid. If we all stepped out the door tomorrow and pointed our rifles at the problem and pulled the trigger, it would be done. Okay? And then we could start rebuilding this country. Something I know we can do. We can rebuild it better, guaranteed. All right, something I've been thinking about, and I'm sure it's been stated before, but using the terms Jewish supremacist from now on might be an effective tool. You know, if they're going to call us white supremacists just because we're white, you know, if they're going to call us white nationalists just because we're white, let's take a page right out of their playbook and just start using the same shit right against them. Oh, you're a Jew? You must be a Jewish supremacist then. You believe in Israel? You believe in Zionism? You must be a Jewish supremacist then. You won't let any the Syrians and the Africans and the Afghanis into Israel? You must be a Jewish supremacist then. So, all these dual Israeli citizens that we have in our government, maybe we should call them Jewish nationalists. From now on, or generally anybody supporting the state of Israel, Jewish nationalists, okay? Let's use their own words against them. Okay, so that's about it for my notes. I got one more thing. We have a bunch of headlines on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com in regards to the communist push to remove the Confederate monument and censor the internet. We're going to spend a bit of time covering them. And I guess I should add, it's not just censoring the internet. And I don't support white supremacists, but I do support them speaking freely. And we got some articles about stopping them from, having events and speaking out. And guess how it's happening, folks? Through permitting. You need permission to go speak. Okay. So where are we at? This one I thought was pretty good. This is sent to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com, posted for discussion by yours truly today, August 17th, 2017. It's coming from a website called The College Fix. And the title is Yale University Censors Hostile Historic Artwork. I thought this one was quite interesting. This is coming from Matthew Steen. Oh, really?
Oy vey.
Okay. Committee on Art in Public Spaces deems image not appropriate. Officials at Yale University recently censored a stone work of art on campus depicting an armed Native American and a Puritan side by side, which has been described as a hostile image by the Ivy League's Institutions Alumni magazine. The stone carving was edited to cover up the Puritan's musket, while the Native American's bow was left as is, reports Yale Alumni magazine. So I'll read just the first part of it again. The stone carving was edited to cover up the Puritan's musket. You believe that shit? You want to talk about 1984? Here you go. But coming from Yale, who can be surprised? The decision to censor the carving was made by both head librarian Susan Gibbons and Yale's Committee on Art and Public Spaces, the latter of which advises President Peter Salvoy on which way to better represent the diversity of the Yale community through the art and other symbolic representations found around the campus, according to the university website. So we got to censor the Puritan's gun, huh? The censorship of the school's historical carving marks one of the first major accomplishments of the newly reconstituted art committee. Yeah, fucking communists is what they are. And this is something I have to attribute to Mark Kornke, but for knowing. Because of him, I know this. The word Soviet, if you go define it in English, means council. So all those years throughout the Cold War, when our parents and our grandparents or whomever were saying things like Soviet Socialist Republic, Most of them had no clue that the operative word, the Soviet word, was council. Do you think we have a council-based socialist republic form of government in the United States? I think we do. The censorship of the school's historic stone carving marks one of the first major accomplishments of the newly reconstituted art committee, which was charged in April 2016 with undertaking an inventory of public representations throughout campus, according to Saluvi. The committee was tapped with their job after a Yale employee smashed a stained glass window in the Calhoun College dining hall depicting slaves carrying cotton. In another of its first decisions, the art committee selected additional windows to be removed from Calhoun College and conserved for study and future exhibitions. According to Saluvi, who added the windows would be replaced with tinted glass as a placeholder. Wasn't that lovely? Let's just make it all disappear. Well, that is kind of the goal when you look at the Georgia Guidestones now, isn't it? To make it all disappear. Okay. So, you know what? That's about it. I'm not going to get into the hyper details for that article. Okay, we got another one posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion by this one's posted by number one New World Order hater today, August 17th, 2017, and it's titled, Pastor Wants President's Name Removed from Washington, Jackson's Parks Over Ties to Slavery. A Chicago pastor has asked the Emmanuel, hold on, where is it?
Oy vey.
Administration to remove the names of two presidents who owned slaves from parks on the south side, saying the city should not honor slave owners in black communities. A bronze statue of George Washington on horseback stands at the corner of 51st and King Drive at the northwest entrance to Washington Park. Bishop James Dukes, pastor of Liberation Christian Center, said he wants the statue gone and he wants George Washington's name removed from the park. When I see that, I see a person who fought for the liberties and I see people that fought for the justice of freedom of white America, because at that moment we were still chattel slavery and was three-fifths of humans, he said. Some people out here ask me, well, you know, he taught his slaves to read. That's almost as sad as the equivalent of someone who kidnaps you, that you give them something to eat. Well, whatever. It was a totally different time back then. And you know what? You know what this big communist push is doing? It's going to make all of us slaves. When they take away our history. Go ahead.
David, I have some statistics about the percentage of whites who owned slavery at the height of the slave in America.
Go ahead.
At the peak of black slavery in the South, only 6% of Southern whites owned slaves. You include the white people in the North, it means that only 1.4% of white Americans owned black slaves at the height of slavery. An estimated 3,000 blacks owned a total of 20,000 black slaves in the year 1860. This one is Keogh's Answers and Questions. And I have another one, Wiki Answers. Without being politically biased and sticking only to the facts, less than 5% of whites in the South were slave owners prior to the war. Also, as slave holders were the Cherokee, Creek, Choctaw, Chickasaw, and Seminoles, holding around 10,000. Also, as slaveholders were free blacks who owned slaves at a higher percentage of their population than whites. That, if I didn't say it, it's Wiki Answers.
Excellent. I appreciate you coming up with that data. And if that's true, then the entire white population of America is supposed to, generations past the end of slavery, we're supposed to still be paying a price for it? We're supposed to erase all of our history because of what under 2% of the population was doing? I don't think so.
Well, what about the Native Americans who owned slaves? What about blacks who owned slaves? Who's accountable to that?
Well,
that's never mentioned. I never heard of it before.
I'll put this in the form of a question. What group of people on planet Earth have not been enslaved at some point in time?
My guess is none.
Yeah, my guess would be none as well. And we all know that when there's wars, especially in the past, that there would always be slavery after war. You would take the slaves as war booty. And that was a big part of slavery. And I'm pretty sure the Indian population, a lot of their slavery functioned like that. When they went to war with somebody, they would take people back to their communities as slaves. And I think in most... Yeah, I think that's true of most of the aboriginal and probably the advanced old world, to take people back as slaves, as war booty. So I don't think there's anything new to this, and it has nothing to do with just Caucasian people. Now, this concept was first brought to me by Pastor James David Manning. I'm not a big fan of him. I'm an agnostic and all that. I don't completely trust him. But he made a point. He said, why would they take the time to bring all the Africans over here when we had an indigenous population here already? And his belief is that the native population did not serve the purposes of slavery as well as the African population did. And that was the reason for picking them up and dragging them, I don't know what it is, halfway around the world, a quarter of the way, a third, something like that, and bringing them over here. But now, slavery was terrible. What happened to those people was terrible. War is terrible. It's all terrible. But thank your lucky stars that you are here. Thank your lucky stars you've had. We've had, it's diminishing, but thank God we've had the freedoms that we have had in this country, that we have had access to information that has allowed us to hold this back, okay? And it has been. This is a holding pattern. This would have been done a long time ago if we were willing to submit, you know, but we're not willing to submit. The majority are not. They may submit just enough to keep their nose clean and to stay out of the radar. But and I read this out of a book too, and I can't recall the name of it. This gentleman said he traveled the world, and he said that the United States was only the only country where people would tell a perfect stranger that they break laws, that the rest of the world fears their government. And I don't know if this is true, but it's interesting in its own right. The rest of their government, the rest of the people around the world fear their governments enough to not speak out about little petty crimes they might commit to perfect strangers. But here we brag about it. We brag about skirting the tax laws. We brag about getting the radar detector and going 100 miles down the highway. We don't care. It's a totally different animal. And that makes us the target, you know, with a whipping post or whipping boy or whatever the term is, with the whole world policing, you know, using our military to fight for Israel around the world. You know, there's that one aspect of it. They drag our name through the mud. They're using our dollar to oppress nations all around the world. But on the flip side, because of the belief structure that exists in the United States, we are the number one target. And
Here's the thing. Freedom is between the ears. You have to be free in your own mind. And I have a request. If you are willing, can you please repeat the poem at the close of your broadcast today? I felt very touched by it as well.
Okay. Well, we're getting right to that time, so I'm going to have to close with that quote right now. So this is coming from Ralph Waldo Emerson, born 1803, died 1882, American essayist and poet. To laugh often and much, to win the respect of intelligent people and the affection of children, to earn the appreciation of honest critics and endure the betrayal of false friends, to appreciate beauty, to find the best in others, to leave the world a bit better, whether by a healthy child, a garden patch, or a redeemed social condition, to know even one life has breathed easier because you have lived. This is to have succeeded. And again, that's from Ralph Waldo Emerson, American essayist and poet. And that's going to be about it for me today, folks. I appreciate our callers. I appreciate everybody listening. And again, keep your spirit strong. You know, do what it takes to keep your spirit going. You know, expect the worst and you will not be disappointed, right? As Mark says, expect the worst and you will not be disappointed because it is coming. So arm up, folks. All right. See you tomorrow.